Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. We're glad you're with us on the show this week. And my guest today, speaking to us by phone from his office, is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love to have your calls or your questions via email today. You can dial us at 496-1999. Send those emailed questions to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, Mr. Mayor, it seems the city's seen a little bit of turnover in some of its top jobs recently. Your park superintendent, a member of your board of works have announced their resignations. Did you know these were coming?
Well, greetings, Stanley, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays from Frankfort. It seems as though winter is finally here with the cold today, but I hope everyone's having a wonderful holiday season. You know, our team over the past 4 years, it's really been more than a team. It's a family. We all lean on each other. We grow with one another. And I had an inkling that there would be some turnover simply because of family responsibilities and new adventures wanting to take place. It's incredibly bittersweet that I'm losing my right-hand man, Tom Ransom, a longtime owner of Kramer Lumber, but he's going to spend more time in his family with his family and more time on the golf course, and that's great. I applaud him with that. And then our park superintendent, George Belmore. George has just reinvigorated our parks, and he's truly a renaissance man. I love George very much. And so they're going their separate ways, and I applaud them with that. So currently we are seeking a new park superintendent. It will be a competitive process, so I encourage anyone out there that is a critical thinker and wants to be a part of the positive progress that we're experiencing in Frankfort to bring over a resume and pick up an employment application. We'll be accepting those here in my office through the first week of January. And then I'm proud to announce that longtime Purdue advocate, actually Jim Siegfried from here in Frankfort, is going to step in and fill Tom's shoes. And Jim and I got to know each other, Stan, through the old Stony Project. Jim has been instrumental in our community, whether it be the Wesley Manor, the United Way, Red Barn Theater. Jim's done it all. He has an insurance background on the private side, and so although I'm losing one adopted grandfather, I'm gaining another, and I plan on leaning on his wisdom as we continue to better our city.
Well, let's talk about both these a little bit. Let's start with Board of Works. Jim Siegfried's background seems like that makes him a pretty strategic choice for you, because he's somebody who might back you on your push for Old Stony renovations. He's somebody who works with Wesley Manor, and that could be helpful with later golf course negotiations. How much did his connections in the community influence your choice?
Of course, that came into play. Jim understands the heartbeat of this community, and he's been around long enough to respect where we've been, but he also has a stunning vision for the future. So that definitely played into my role in seeking him out. Jim's the first person I went to, and he's really earned this position through action the past year. He has helped us negotiate one of the largest infrastructure projects this community's ever seen, and that's a multi-million-dollar renovation of the most historic building in Frankfort. So he just suited himself so well. And the thing I love about Jim is he's a worker. When he tells you he's going to do something, he does it. And I need someone that's not going to micromanage our department heads, but interact with them, give them the support they need. And Jim Siegfried's that guy. So I can't wait to continue to work with Jim in this new capacity.
Did you approach him for the job, or did he volunteer himself to you?
No, I went to him. Jim's way too modest and way too humble. When I approached him and asked him about it, he was genuinely shocked. He was honored. He was shocked. Of course, he had to speak to his family about this. He has been and when I say advocate for Purdue University, I truly mean that. Jim's in a capacity now, though. He goes to all the games, and I want him to continue to do that. But he's ready to get to work for the city, and on January 1st, he'll start doing that.
While we're on the subject of the Board of Works, I wanted to ask you about an interesting vote recently. The board voted to let the Frankfort schools keep about $6,600 or so in permitting fees for upgrades to the school, and these are, of course, pursuant to the referendum that the voters passed earlier this year. I know that's a nice thing for the city to do for the school corporation, but isn't it reasonable to think that those fees had been figured into the referendum value and the school corporation was both planning to and willing to pay the city that money?
You know, perhaps, but I also know, going through a couple infrastructure projects myself, you're always going to have surprises. You're always going to have change orders. So anything that we could do to help their contingency fund, I was willing to do that. You know, our taxpayers stepped up this past May. They passed a referendum vote with 66% approximately voting yes. So to go back and hit our taxpayers again and potentially hinder their ability, if they get in a tight situation, not being able to make a decision on a change order, I didn't want that to come from us. And yeah, I mean, our $6,000, it's a drop in the bucket for that project. It's a huge project. It's a drop in the bucket. But I wanted to send a clear message to the school system, and you and I have talked about this, that the city of Frankfort stands beside you, and whether it be monetarily or whether it be from emotional support, we're here for our schools, and I wanted to send that message, and the board voted on it unanimously, and I'm happy they did that.
It is, however, a slightly bigger drop in the bucket for the city budget, which is not that big, and you need every bit of revenue you can get. I mean, can you afford to be turning down several $1,000 bills from anybody?
Sure. Well, you know, we take every cent of revenue very seriously. Don't get me wrong about that. But, you know, I think you have to make some commonsensical decisions. Again, even if we did accept that money, it's more or less, I believe, robbing Peter to pay Paul. I mean, our taxpayers are paying for this referendum. They're also paying to keep our government running here in the city. So, you know, the $6,000, although, yes, it is important, and we have a $10.2 million budget in our city, and, yeah, every dollar matters, it was more important to me that we support our school system, that we help their flexibility, and send a message that we support them. And I'm sure that's going to be reciprocated in the future. It already has been, and that's really why we made that decision.
Is there anything, however, that stops other, for instance, companies that are doing large construction projects from coming to you and saying, Mr. Mayor, I see that you forgave the permitting fees for the school corporation. Could we have that same perk?
Sure. You know, has a precedent been set? This is a pretty unique precedent in terms of our taxpayers voting on a referendum, burdening an additional tax, and helping the students of our school system. A developer coming in that's, you know, building a Jimmy John's or building a new ConAgra facility, that's a little bit different. And I would go right back to them and I would say, listen, especially if there was an incentive package on the table through a traditional tax abatement or tax increment financing commitment, which is somewhat usual in those scenarios, I would say, listen, we're helping out in this way, and it would be incredibly, incredibly rare for us to do that. And since I've taken office on any major economic development project, we have not waived permitting fees.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Our guest today, Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love to have your questions for him today. Call those in to area code 765-496-1999. Send your emails to ask, that's ASK, at WBAA.org, and tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. So let's talk about George Belmore leaving as parks superintendent. This would seem to be a department that is under a little bit of pressure, and therefore his successor is under a little bit of pressure, because you and I have talked on this program about a number of amenities at TPA Park being under scrutiny or changing recently. The golf course situation still unsettled. And so his resignation comes, it would seem, a little bit at an unfortunate time for you.
You know, it is. It's going to be a tough shift, but we're going to find a guy or a girl to step into that position with the same enthusiasm. Yeah, they've got a big job in front of them, and I'm going to expect an awful lot out of that individual. They're going to have to come in and be a part of the team and really carry out the vision that George started. You know, we have an Olympic-sized swimming pool, as you well know, at the TPA Park. I believe we have a world-class petting zoo that has everything from a kangaroo to a muttjack to a macaw, so they have to have somewhat of a love for animals and a background with animals. We have a stellar Christmas light display, and it's actually ongoing right now, so I invite people to come over. We do have a little soup house in the middle of our park that you can stop. You can get hot cocoa, a bowl of soup, and see the terrific light display. So, yeah, they're going to have a lot to live up to. But at the same time, that hard work is going to bring a lot of satisfaction. I expect our parks to only become better and grow in the amount of amenities that we have within them in the next 4 years. So most definitely, if you're going to apply for this position, be ready to work. And I really hope we find a qualified applicant. I have to believe we will do so.
Do you think you're going to find that person from within within your existing staff, either within the Parks Department or somebody you've already got on city staff, or do you think it's going to come from outside Frankfurt?
I always encourage our department heads to promote from within. I just think that's a good hiring practice to let employees know when they come on with an employer, there's going to be an opportunity for growth. I do not know for certain, talking with you today, whether we're going to have anyone internal. It's not a very big staff at our parks. We're talking 6 to 10 people, and some of them are full-time and some of them are part-time. So I'm not certain whether we'll have that. I've encouraged that. But those people will also understand that it's a competitive process. The job hasn't been promised to anyone, and whoever comes in, performs in the interviews, we'll look at them holistically, and we'll choose the person to best serve the city of Frankfurt.
And, of course, this person has to deal at least a little bit with the golf course situation, and you, the city, have received a number of bids from potential operators there. Let me ask, what do you want from the outside firm that you eventually award that contract to? Are you just looking for good fiscal management? Because we've talked on this program about how the golf course, you know, is not expected to necessarily be hugely profitable, but still this year it lost, thanks to weather and other factors, even more than you thought it was going to. Or do you want a firm that can help navigate, frankly, some of the politics that surround what's going to happen with that course going forward and the fact that multiple different entities control parts of it?
All the above. They have to come in and they have to be the champion of the golf course. They have to connect themselves with city and county leaders. They need to be out in our industrial park marketing the golf course. They need to be on programs such as yours talking about what we're doing at the golf course. They have to be great fiscal managers because we're dealing with the people's money. And I would like to put an additional layer of accountability there next year, almost a subcommittee of 2 to 3 community professionals that would almost work as liaisons between the management firm and elected officials to truly keep an eye on every nth degree at that golf course. And last but not least, Stan, I know you've played our course. You know, this golf course brought my family to the community. My father was the golf professional there from the late 1980s to the early 2000s. I want a great product again. I want golfers to come, and I want it to be a crisp environment. I want the bunkers to be edged. I want the greens to be cut every other day, at least. I want to properly aerate our fairways, our tee boxes, our greens on a biannual basis. I want to apply the correct amount of chemicals so we don't have grub issues or we don't have dandelion issues for our golfers. I want it to be a great product again, and that's what we have to do to start attracting more consumers. Another thing we've did is, as well, we've kind of tweaked the season passes for next year. We need to create a little more revenue on a monthly basis, and I don't want to burden our daily players with all the weight of carrying this golf course, but there needs to be some shared burden. So we've tweaked our unlimited cart pass to be a monthly unlimited cart pass, so they will have to renew that on an every month basis. And doing small things like this and the things I mentioned before, I think will eventually get our course back to what it was in the late 1990s and even the late 80s, and hopefully make a product that we can be proud of again.
I've never asked you, what's your handicap on the golf course?
Oh, goodness. I'm not going to tell you that because we haven't played and put a side bet up yet, so I don't know. I'd be putting myself at a disadvantage there.
No, I think I'm at the disadvantage. I have a feeling if you're related to a golf professional, I certainly am not.
You know, you'd think that, Stan, but my brother got all those genes. I am truly a frustrated amateur. I really am.
On to other things. We got a press release yesterday from the city about a Frankfurt police officer who helped to stop what appeared to be a suicide attempt at the Nickel Plate Roundhouse. And it's been a few months since you and I have talked about that property. And there's, of course, been a lot of concern about what's going to happen to it. Do this week's events change what you think about it? Because somebody obviously found it abandoned and perhaps even secluded enough to try to take their own life there. I mean, does that change your view of what the city might want to do with it?
Well, this goes to a holistic issue. This even goes back to housing, and you and I have talked about housing several times. Anytime you have a derelict, abandoned facility like the Roundhouse or even a property in the city, that's just inviting crime. That's inviting, you know, bad things to happen. In this instance, unfortunately, it was a suicide attempt. And I want to salute Officer Kelling. You know, Officer Kelling is one of our new, bright young police officers that has a military background. He thunk on his feet very quickly, and he saved this individual's life. And, you know, I want to be open, Stan. I know that our police department, in the past few weeks, in the past few months, we've had some blemishes. We've had some very unfortunate and unjust decisions made off-duty that have cast somewhat of a desperate light. But I want the people of our community and of our region to know that that doesn't rule the day. That's not going to define us. When those things happen, heaven forbid, we're going to deal with them swiftly and in a very just manner because we hold our police officers to a higher level of accountability that they should. But we also have young officers that are saving lives. This is our second Lifesaver Award that we've handed out in the past 3 months. Officer Kelling and then Officer Hessian saved an overdose patient a couple of months ago. Crime has decreased in our city over the past 4 years by 20%. Our drug arrests are up. I love seeing that. So we have positive things going on in our public safety department that I want people to take note of. When it comes to the roundhouse stand, I think it's huge the next 4 years that we get that cleaned up. It's the western gateway to our community going along with the State Road 28 West project. I think the roundhouse ties in with that. We've got to come together as a community and figure out a fiscally responsible way to clean that area up and really make it an asset to the community again. Unfortunately, right now, it just simply isn't.
Is there any hint that there's money out there to do that?
I think we're setting ourselves up fundamentally to get something done. I really do through mechanisms like our Redevelopment Commission that has monies maturing for these specific quality of place initiatives. You and I have talked a lot about my vision for the downtown. This next 4 years, I really want to focus on quality of place. 55% of college graduates know where they're going to live before they even have a job, and they're looking for things like cultural centers, athletic centers, those franchise restaurants like Jimmy John's or a Steak and Shake. You know, I want to encourage this type of development, and I look at the roundhouse as an area that's a possibility. Who's to say we don't clean that up, make it a rail-themed type scenario, and have a great athletic complex there that our AAU kiddos and our softball leaguers could stay here in the community and enjoy that space in a very healthy and recreational way. So I think there's some opportunities there, and we're going to be very aggressive in going after those.
What do you do until that time to try to make sure it's safer and perhaps even better patrolled?
Well, I can tell you, as a community, our building inspection department, and I asked them about a month ago, they've reached out to IDEM and the EPA to specifically look at that site to see if we can open up some funding to get it cleaned up that much quicker. We're doing that. And also, of course, Chief Bacon has put additional patrols on that property. Our officers are keeping a keen eye on it. And heaven forbid something again were to happen, I believe we have officers that will take care of that. And I asked people in that neighborhood of the city, be aware, and if you're seeing something, smelling something, hearing something, call us. We want to know about that. We want to come and intervene.
Got about 10 minutes left with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes on Ask the Mayor this afternoon here on WBAA. Call in your questions for him, 496-1999. The telephone number, the email address is ask@WBAA.org. You can also tweet questions at WBAA News on Twitter. So renovations at Old Stoney are set to start in the spring of next year, and kind of like what happened in West Lafayette when they found mold in the walls here and had to vacate, your City Hall operations are probably going to have to move somewhere, right?
Yeah, Stan, absolutely. So major renovation project here at Old Stoney. We've talked about it several times. This is going to fire up in March. We bid this project out with all tenants staying in Old Stoney, those construction workers working around us, working on the weekends, after hours. In later talks over this past month with both our engineering team, our architectural team, and our construction firm, we believe it best behooves the city to make this swift, efficient, and clean when it comes to the construction. So moving everybody out at once, temporarily relocating them from approximately March of next year to October 1st of next year, and then bringing everyone back into the building at one time is not only going to reduce our cost, but it's just going to make the construction project and the cleanup of this building that much better. So what I've done is I've asked Brandt Construction to revise their bid, because I believe with us relocating, it's going to be a bit easier on them. Again, they won't have those after hours of working. They won't have to work on the weekends. They won't have to work around us. There's not that inconvenience. So I've asked them to revise that bid, and I hope we'll see. I hope it saves the city money at the end of the day, and there's going to be cost in relocating our offices. So hopefully it will offset that cost as well. I want to let the citizens know that I do want to keep all of our city services in this building, whether it be Veterans Affairs, Frankfort Main Street, the Chamber of Commerce, in a centrally located situation in our community. I don't want citizen services to be disrupted, so we're going to communicate to radio stations like yours where we're going to be and when, so it's still convenient for people to get building permits or to talk to our local Veterans Affairs Director, because that's very important to me.
So for those 8 months next year, where are you going to be?
Well, I know that I believe it to be very strategically important that the clerk treasurer's office and my office is together. We get a lot of the same visitors that need both of our services, so I think it's very strategic to keep us together. And then the rest of the city services, whether it be Area 4, Veterans Affairs, Frankfort Main Street, building services, I would like them to be together as well. So what I'm waiting on is for that revised bid to come back, and then we have three or four situations, different spaces around the community, mostly around the downtown, that I will then look into, and hopefully we'll have all of this situated by mid-January. We'll be able to communicate that, this move, well ahead of the time of the construction project, so people will get acquainted with where they're going to go for city services and when that begins.
We talked on last month's program about the police department considering the use of body cameras, and as we talked last month, you were getting set to have a public forum on it. And when that happened, it seemed like there might have been more questions raised than answered at that, especially within the department.
Well, and that's a good thing. We wanted to engage our citizenry on this because it's going to affect them, and we want to hear their voices. You know, we found a lot of severe differences between different standard operating procedures when it came to body cameras nationally. Purchasing the body cameras, that's really the easy part. Putting the technological infrastructure in the department to handle that much data, that's a tough thing. Putting a standard operating procedure policy in place on day one when those body cameras are implemented, that's a totally different scenario. When are we going to record? Are officers going to have these body cameras on at all periods of time? How long do we hold data? Is data public information or not? You and I have talked about this. The city of Seattle, they release everything. They have a YouTube channel. Los Angeles Police Department, they don't release anything. You know, we've reached out to the Indiana Public Access Counselor, and they readily admit at this time that there's no direct direction to local communities on this at this time. So I believe even over this next year, our legislature is probably going to dictate some of this. But that community meeting, it did generate a lot of good questions, got us to thinking more, and we're going to implement that in our policy. So when body cameras are turned on, we'll have an effective policy that wasn't only created by police leadership, but our citizen leadership as well.
What's your sense? Do you think your city is leaning toward a more restrictive policy, especially when it comes to releasing some of that footage, or are you looking towards more transparency?
Well, right now, the Indiana Public Access Counselor tells us that they look at all the information gathered right now as investigatory in nature, which means that we don't necessarily have to release that. But you and I have talked about this. You know, I want people to see the great things that our police officers are doing. I think it's a way to market the job that our police officers are doing. So we want to compromise. We want to be right in the middle. You know, for example, if a police officer goes over to an elderly person's home and, you know, and helps them remove a bat from their home, for example, we're not going to release that because I don't want a robber to get a layout of an individual's home and know exactly, you know, what they could steal in that home. But if it comes to a complaint situation and we're able to show the public that, listen, this is what actually happened, this is how our officers addressed the situation, you know, we're going to do that because we want to show the public that our officers are doing a great job. But we've also got to keep in mind that we have to protect people's personal information because we do not want to bring them harm through an unintended consequence of releasing data.
Don't you, though, run a little bit of the risk if you're trying to kind of straddle those lines of, it seems like it'd be easier to go one way or the other, because if people think that you're just picking and choosing what you want the public to see, that's going to go badly for the city and its image.
Sure, and I can understand how someone would have that view, and again, that's why we wanted to have a public meeting. That's why we wanted to get their feedback to see what they wanted. You know, in all honesty, an individual at the meeting stated that he didn't believe any of it should be released, and that was a citizen, and their main concern was that we don't want to open up the city or open up a defense attorney from calling out to a citizen and saying, you need to sue the city for this specific instance. We can twist this situation into something that it really wasn't. So there's citizens that are on both sides of the fence as well, and And that's why, you know, when our SOP comes out, we want all this to be concrete. This is a fluid process. It's not concluded yet. So if someone out there has a great idea, email us, tell us about that, call us, because the policy isn't in stone yet. We just want to come up with the best practice when it comes to body cameras to protect our police officers, our constituents, our city, all involved.
If you yourself had to pick one side or the other, more restrictive or more open, which side would you go to?
Well, obviously, Stan, my biggest thing is a citizen voice and communications. I'm huge on transparency. That's just the type of guy I am. It really, you know, we have a great city attorney, and some things just simply are private in any organization. It kills me when legally those things do have to be private, because I want to be open about things. So me personally, as a citizen, as mayor, I would lean towards a more open policy that we can truly be transparent about what's happening on a daily basis. But again, you know, I'm one voice of many. I may be the mayor, but I'm one voice of many. And as we hold more citizen sessions and receive more feedback, we'll come up with a policy that's best for Frankfort.
In our last couple of minutes here, let me ask you to look forward into 2016 a little bit. You got any New Year's resolutions for yourself or for the beginning of your second term?
Oh, to continue to become a better husband for my wife. You know, that's one of the biggest things, Stan. You always got to have a balance in life. And God and my family, those come first, and then my job. I'm going to continue to work very hard. Really want to push myself to think outside the box, you know, especially when it comes to housing. I don't want to get so comfortable with things that we continue to do things the same, thinking, you know, we're moving along, and miss out on a great opportunity. So I want to continue to challenge myself when it comes to bettering our housing stock, speak to other mayors, other city councils, absorb positive things that are happening around the state, and implement them here in the city of Frankfort, and also keep pushing myself for more and my team for more. These past 4 years have been pretty exciting, but I believe we're just on the brink of the possibilities for our community, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
Give me an example in our last minute and a half here of something you think that Frankfort citizens will see in 2016 that will be noticeably different and hopefully better for them than it was in 2015.
Well, I think first and foremost, it's going to be our infrastructure. We have a major roadway project in South Mash Road. It looks as though more street paving monies are going to be coming down from our state legislature. I'm going to continue to praise Senator Hirschman for his work on that. I thank him for that. I ask our legislature to support that bill. So I'm hoping that in 2016, our constituency really sees us moving forward when it comes to our infrastructure, also some quality of life elements in our downtown, an outdoor amphitheater, better facades in our downtown. I want them to see that visible change. And last but not least, when it comes to housing, it's not just about demolishing unsafe properties or finding an individual. It's about coming up with a resourceful way to modernize these homes, make these homes more energy efficient, and then turn around and truly market them to millennials, middle-class income earners that can come to this community and help us grow it. Those are just some of the things that I think people can come to expect, and I want them to hold me accountable on when it comes to 2016.
And with any luck, you and I will both lower our golf handicaps in 2016, too.
Buddy, I hope so, because I guarantee you we both need it.
Well, Mr. Mayor, thank you as always. Happy holidays to you and your family. Thank you for being with us for the entirety of 2015, and we look forward to doing this again with you next year.
You as well, Stan. All the best.
Thanks very much. This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. A reminder that all of these programs are archived at our website. That's WBAA.org. Just find the Ask the Mayor page, and you can find all of these. You can also find them on the right-hand side of the homepage under the Public Affairs tab. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for Ask the Mayor on WBAA comes from your membership and Butler, Fairman & Seifert, a civil engineering firm providing communities with professional expertise and guidance. Butler, Fairman & Seifert, civil engineering solutions for better communities. BFSENGR.com.